Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. Mubad. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and the lessons from it. So as I said yesterday, there was the 7 years of plenty passed, and after that began the 7 years of famine. And as a consequence of that 7 years of famine, Yusuf alayhi salam, of course, rationed the grain in his country. But people from surrounding areas also started coming for food aid. And among them were the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. So from where they were living, there was no food. So they heard about this ruler in Egypt who was giving aid, food aid and grain to people. So they came to Egypt. Now Yusuf alayhi salam had another younger brother called Binyamin. So they did not bring Binyamin with them. His father would not let him go. So only the elder brothers, 11 of them, they came to Egypt. Now Yusuf alayhi salam they had to pay for this grain. So they brought some money. And they came to the ruler and they said, "We are poor people, we have no food, we have brought whatever money we had. It may not be, we realize that this may not be enough for the grain, but that is all we have, so we have brought it, so please help us." Now Yusuf alayhi salam immediately recognized them, but he did not reveal his identity and they did not recognize him. So he ordered his servants to give them grain at the rate of one camel load per person, and he also told them to put the money which they brought and whatever else they brought. He said, "When you finish loading the camels, put this money back in their bags. Don't tell them, just put it back in their bags." He recognized them, and we have to think about his situation. These are his brothers. I mean, no matter what they did with him, but they're still his brother. They are also the awlad of anbiya. They are not some ordinary people. They are the leaders of their community. They are their father is a nabi. And to see them reduced to the level where they have to come and ask for food. Obviously, this could not have been easy on Yusuf alayhi salam. At the same time, this is again a big lesson. Yusuf alayhi salam could have returned their money to them directly. He could have said, "I don't want the money, take it, take the grain also." But that would be like, you know, insulting them, because just because you are poor. So he accepted their money. So as far as they were concerned, they paid for it, whatever it was. But secretly he returned the money to them, which they did not discover until they went back home. And then when they were going, he said to them, he asked them this question, "How many of you are there?" and so on. So they said, "Well, you know, we are these people. We have one more brother who is with our father. And our father is very old." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Next time you come, you bring that brother also." And he said, "Unless you bring the brother, I will not give you any food. So make sure you bring the brother." So they went back. And the next year, when they were coming again, and they asked their father, they said, "Look, this is the condition he has made, that the brother should come. Binyamin must come with us, otherwise he will not give us any food." So his father, he lost one son already. So he said to them, "If I give you this youngster," he said, "swear to me before Allah that you will take care of him and you will bring him back safe. Unless you are surrounded by enemies, unless there is some untoward incident, otherwise you will bring him back safe." So they took an oath before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their father that they will bring back Binyamin safe. So now when they reached, Yusuf alayhi salam saw his younger brother. He was very happy to see him. And in secret he revealed his identity to him so that he knew who he was. But now he wanted to retain him with him. So for that he played a little trick. He got his servants to, he gave them the grain, he gave them another additional camel load of grain for his brother also. And then he got his servants to conceal, there was a golden goblet, he got them to conceal that in the bags of Binyamin. And as they were leaving, the servants called out and they said, something is missing, we think that you are thieves. So they all stopped and they were very shocked, how is somebody calling us thieves? And they said, no, we have, so what is, it, what is missing? They said, one golden goblet of the king is missing. So they said, search our bags if you want. They searched the bags and obviously it was there because it was planted. So it was found in the bags of Binyamin. Now according to the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, he calls it Deen al-Malik. He said, according to the religion of the king. So king in this case is not Yusuf alayhi salam, it is the king of Egypt. Which means also that Yusuf alayhi salam was a Muslim in a non-Muslim country who had this role and this job of such great authority because of his competence and because of his integrity. So they said, well, according to the law of this land, to the deen of our king, anyone who is found to be a thief is enslaved, becomes a slave. So therefore this boy now is Yusuf alayhi salam's slave because he stole his things. And that is what Yusuf alayhi salam wanted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that's how he bonded the brothers together through a so-called punishment. Now, these elder brothers were in a predicament because they had sworn an oath to their father to say that they will bring him back alive. Their eldest one said, I am not going back. He said, I cannot go and face my father and I am not going back. And as far as I am concerned, I will stay here. Whatever Allah's wish is there, either this boy is freed or otherwise I will die here. I will not go back at all. The others went back and then they told their father this story and so on. And the following year, when they came, then Yusuf alayhi salam gave them, he rebuilt his identity. Because what they did was, one of the things they did was, when this theft happened, and Binyamin's, the goblet was found in Binyamin's bag, they said to him, yeah, this boy is a thief and his brother also was a thief. So they are accusing Yusuf alayhi salam of stealing when there is no such incident. So they said he was also a thief, and of course he was not a thief. So but he did not reveal his identity even then, and he remained silent. Now point is that as I'm quickly going through the story is not the purpose. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, Yusuf alayhi salam then said, third time they came, Yusuf alayhi salam sent his shirt and then he revealed his identity as well. And then the brothers were very ashamed and they said, we are truly at fault. And Yusuf alayhi salam then said, no, today there is no fault on you and I forgive you and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgive you. Incidentally, this is the ayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa recited in Fatah Makkah when the Quraysh, when he called them and he said, what shall I do with you today? And they said, you are Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa then recited this ayat of Surah Yusuf. And he said, today there is no blame on you and I free you from all blame and may Allah forgive you. And that is why they are called the Tulaqa, they are called the freed slaves of Rasulullah. So to come back to the story, the lessons from this, and of course then the family of Yaqub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his sight. He had lost his sight due to his grief for his sons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his sight. And they all came to Egypt and they lived with Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that dream also come true, which is the first where the story began, where Yusuf alayhi salam saw the 11 brothers, he saw the 11 stars and the sun and the moon making sujood to him, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to see at the end. Now the many lessons from this, as I said, one is of course the way he treated the people. So in the case of, this is a lesson in terms of giving of charity, that we give charity with preserving the honor of the person to whom you are giving. Don't, in the giving of your charity, preserve the dignity of the individual. Don't treat him or her with lack of dignity. I mean, don't give charity in a way which is which can be seen as insulting that person. Sometimes you see in these today you see, you know, these NGOs and so on who give, for example, wheelchairs to people or things like this, where I've actually seen this. They will make that person crawl because he needs the wheelchair. So they make him crawl and up the steps onto the stage, and there they will put him in the wheelchair because they want to show that, you know, we are giving him a wheelchair. I mean, how disgusting is that? You make somebody, you know, crawl on the ground to come up there just because you want to have a photo op to show that you are giving this thing. And that is the issue with a lot of these, you know, the way we give charity, where we do not preserve the dignity of the people to whom the charity is given, and that is very deplorable. The other lesson in this is also the issue of not giving in to despair. And specifically, Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam says that the one who despairs of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a kafir, he is not a believer. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran as well. Also in another place with Ibrahim alayhi salam, this same ayat or similar ayat of similar meaning has been revealed. So even though he had this grief of his one son and then the second son also, but then he says, "Innama ashku bathi wa husni ilallah." He said that my tears are only for Allah. He says, "My tears and my huzn, my sadness is only for my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu." So, not revealing your sadness to the whole world, you know, not making a scene of it, even though you have grief, handling that grief with dignity. This is a symbol of Islam, a symbol of tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we cry before Allah. And that is sensible, because Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi once was going somewhere and he overheard a conversation between two people. One man was complaining to another man, you know, "This is my life and this happened to me and that happened to me," and so on. And Hasan al-Basri stopped and said, "What kind of a man are you that you complain about Ar-Rahman to somebody who has no Rahmah?" He said, "What sense does it make? In any case, what can this man do for you? I mean, you know, if you have a difficulty in your life, go tell Allah about this. Because the only one who can solve the difficulty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the point in complaining?" Now, this does not mean that if there is an issue where somebody can help you in that particular issue, you go and seek that help. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you are sick, you go to a doctor, nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, just sort of moaning and groaning and complaining and, "Oh, this is wrong, that is wrong." What is the good of that? It makes no sense. The people you are telling that to can't do anything to help you. And if you do it too much, then they will laugh at you or they will reject you in some way. It makes no sense. Tell Allah about this. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can solve anybody's difficulties anyway. So that's the other lesson also, and this is what Yaqub alayhi salam, he didn't go around moaning and groaning and crying about the loss of his sons. He said, "My tears and my sadness is only for my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and I know that which you do not know." So he is talking about, of course, the knowledge of Nubuwwat, but also the issue of Tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that my Rabb will not desert me, my Rabb will not leave me, my Rabb will not leave me without help, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. And meanwhile, we have sabr, we do whatever we can do. So these are the lessons from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Wallahu alam, I'm sure there are more. I am only saying whatever I understand. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn and to practice. Whatever we learn, we ask Allah to enable us to put that into practice. Because unless we put it into practice, there is no benefit from this. So we have to learn and we practice that, inshallah. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.